Welcome to the Six Ways from Sunday podcast. My name is Ben Wilson. I'm your host, and I'm sitting down with Reverend Robin King again, the minister here at the Bachelor United Church, as well as the Pinocchio United Church, and online faith community that we call Six Ways from Sunday. Thank you for being a part of this online community. If you've been following us for a while, we hope that you've enjoyed this series of casual conversations over a cup of coffee focused on different topics of faith. And we also hope that you've been checking out some of the other content that we're creating and sharing through the risingspiritministry.com website, where Robin posts his weekly blog. And we also share the sermon videos from each Sunday's service in either Basha or Pinocchio. So thanks again for listening today. We hope you enjoy this conversation, and welcome back, Robin.
Thanks, Ben.
So over the last few weeks, we've been kind of exploring a series or a theme of creation and new beginnings in church and on the podcast. And we're kind of wrapping that up with Thanksgiving last weekend. And now this coming week, I think on Sunday you said you're going to be talking about the Noah's Ark story.
Yeah.
And so, I think I asked you what's coming up on Sunday, and you said, I have no idea. Or did I say that?
I totally did not say that, and I would never have said that.
That you should have said that.
Entirely you, Ben. No,
okay, it must have been me. Anyway, we've been talking about new beginnings. Obviously, the Noah's Ark story is a story about new beginnings. And
No doubt. That's going to happen all the way through this, isn't it, really?
Probably. But what I was going to say is what I love about our conversations and your sermons is that you will so often take a biblical story and in your message, you focus more on the truth behind the story than on the details of the story itself. And in so doing, you add in other layers or additional meaning and explore things that maybe weren't talked about in the story but must have happened. So I'm guessing that you're going to do that today with this conversation about this biblical story.
Well, that's what all our conversations are, right? I mean, really. I mean, this is, I was going to say, this isn't really a theological podcast, but it is in the sense that if God is in your life, you're living theologically. What I mean, I guess, is that exactly what you just said. There is a lot of, thank goodness for all of the research and all of the academic discussion that goes on, and thank goodness for clergy being well trained by theological institutions and seminaries. We absolutely need them, but we also need preachers to be able to take all of that learning and turn it into something that turn it towards, not into something, it already is something, but turn it into preaching that. That expresses the truth at the heart of the story in a way that's relevant to how we live, because that's what we need, right? Mm-hmm. We need for God to be relevant to our lives, and our lives to be relevant to God. We need those things to be together.
That's what Jesus did. He took truths and he made it relevant to the social structure culture of the time.
We're being Jesus. We're doing Jesusing, Ben.
Yes.
I knew that's where you were headed. Jesus is a verb, and we're doing that. Yeah. The Noah story is really, it's just really interesting to me because I've always known the Noah story. Actually, I should say there's two ways I know the Noah story. One is a Sunday school, of course, because, you know, there's nothing like a good story about how God was very unhappy with creation, so he decided to wipe out absolutely everything in a highly destructive way so that we would be afraid of God.
So genocide.
So that we would know how to be afraid of God because, you know. And then, but then, rainbows, right? I'm sorry, but I just, yeah, no. And I'm not suggesting that everybody tells the story that way. But I don't think, first of all, that that's what's at the heart of the story. Although I will say I have told the story with children as one of the ways I try to tell the story is that it's kind of like when you're painting or you're creating art, right? You're creating something that sometimes you get to a point where you just kind of go, I'm not happy with this. I want to start again.
Mm-hmm.
or it's turned into something on the page, or your clay is it's not gone where you want it to, and it's almost like it's fighting you, right? To be something other than what you want it to be, and so you literally start again, right? And that's kind of what the story's about. In a way.
Yeah, that's a good perspective, right? On it. The Sunday school depictions, though, like actually in the Basha United Church, here in Basha, we have in the basement at the entrance of around the doorway into the hallway that leads to the Sunday school rooms, or what used to be the Sunday school rooms, is a giant Noah's Ark.
Right.
And what you don't see in depictions of that story for kids is all the wailing and screaming and drowning and thousands of people dying. You see giraffes and hippos and snakes and
So you want to get to the rainbow. You want to get to the rainbow pretty quick, right? You want to get to the new creation, the recreate. It's a recreation story, right? You want to get to that.
Not a destruction
and
story.
And hope that no kid asks you why there are no unicorns, because everyone knows that the lions ate them. And then Noah said, stop eating everybody, and the lions stopped. Anyway, there's all sorts of funny jokes and stories. There's that classic one about, you know, that Far Side, where there's the two dinosaurs standing on an island and watching the ark floating away, and one says to the other, oh, was that today?
I haven't seen that one.
Right? There's so many really funny things. The thing about that is that and there's been some less funny things about it. There was a movie a few years ago called Noah that annoyed a lot of people, because a lot of people, for some reason, and again, this is a complete mystery to me, but for some reason, people thought that they were going to tell the biblical story of Noah, and it would be starring Russell Crowe. They weren't telling the biblical story of Noah. They were using the biblical story of Noah as the basis for an action film that was an epic film, right? It's kind of you could just go to town on the inaccuracies of movies like Ben-Hur and The Robe, right? Or Cleopatra, the classic epic films, right? And that's the thing about it, is that somebody looked at the story in the Bible and went, there's not much meat on this story. Let me fill it out. And I think, in all honesty, I think, while I'm not so sure I didn't think it was a bad movie, but I think they could have done better with what was a really good intention, which was they wanted to take the Noah story and then explore the relationships between the people in the story and what happens on the ark, which I'm particularly interested in, because we did that a few years ago, and that's actually my intention over the next few weeks, is that we did a children's program called All Aboard the Ark.
As a summer camp.
And the idea wasn't that it was specifically about the story of how God was unhappy with creation, so he killed everybody. The story was actually about what happens between the people and the animals building the ark, and then once they're on the ark and they're floating around. And there's some really good stuff out there already. But I was mentioning to you beforehand, we were talking about this, that there's an awesome children's book called Mrs. Noah and the Vegetable Ark, which is about the aspect of the story where, well, people had to eat stuff, right? So Mrs. Noah brought her vegetable garden onto the ark, right? She potted stuff and puts it on the ark so that people have vegetables. Which, actually, when you think about it, points out a really interesting flaw in the story, which is, so all the animals were saved, but all the vegetation was wiped out, and yet it reappears.
Yeah. I mean, there's all kinds of holes that you can poke in the story that...
Or you can see them as openings to other stories, right? And that's exactly what I like about the idea that, so let's get this straight. A very small group of human beings put two of every animal on the ark, and they all got along and nobody ate anybody else, except of course the animals that they brought on to be eaten. But they all survived the 40 days. That's really quite something.
That is a miracle.
It is a miracle. Or the whole story is a myth to accommodate a legendary story of there being a cataclysmic occurrence that destroyed much of the earth, which is actually what it is.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, there's flood stories in most tradition, absolutely. Myths and traditions, right?
And for those people at that time and their understanding of what the world meant, a flood of their region would have been, well, the entire earth was flooded.
Yes,
because they
exactly.
didn't have any concept of other exactly. continents or anything.
Right. The world was a very small place, which is one of the reasons why how we treat this story needs to accommodate the fact that the world is not a very small place anymore. The world is bigger than the world, right? In the sense that there was a legendary TV show made in Canada called, was it The Lost Ark? But the point of the story is that it's a space ark. That these people, this one guy somehow wakes up to the fact that this little world that he lives in isn't the only little world, and he manages to escape it and finds himself on a ship of which his world is a pod. And it's like just all of these pods of different cultures and societies and vegetation and animals and things, that it's literally an ark in space.
Well, have you seen The 100? Are you familiar with that Netflix series?
I've heard of it.
And on The 100, they call the ship that is the last of the human race, they call it the Ark for that
right.
same reason.
Well, see, we've expanded from that sort of original story to now we're in space too, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's become more universal, universe occupying. It's, the story itself is universal, but the world's become a much more complicated and interesting place. And so a story that is simply about the recreation of things isn't enough, I don't think. I think that's where instead of seeing holes that you could poke a stick in, or drive a truck through for that matter, there are opportunities to explore other things. Like, how did Noah get along with his family? I mean, how did the animals get along on the ark? We kind of assume that because God had ordained this, that the animals very patiently and cooperatively selected two from amongst them and marched regally onto the ark, because that's what we see in the pictures, right?
Right?
And they all had their little stalls, and they all behaved themselves because the Lord told them to. Okay. I guess. Can you tell me more?
And how did they handle that in the film? I think they just had they put all the animals to sleep with some kind of...
I don't even remember now.
I think they put them all to sleep with some kind of... They fumigated the whole ship with some kind of concoction made, and it kind of knocked everything out into a coma.
They had some weed going somewhere, right?
Yeah. Yeah, something like that.
They were all baked. Anyway, okay, sure. Hey, there's a story right there. Right? Or we could explore the fact that I can't imagine that Mrs. Noah and the rest of the Noah family were terribly thrilled with the idea that they were going to be building an ark by themselves.
Or how do you think they would have felt about repopulating the planet just from their own family?
Yeah, let's not even go there. Right?
That's one that
we're back at the classic thing. That's a classic story, right? The kid who says he hears the Genesis story, and the first kid in Sunday school who goes, so all the people just came from those two? How'd that happen?
And then who'd they marry?
Yeah. I'll let your mom and dad explain that for you at home later.
So this Sunday you're going to be talking about this story in your sermon. What kinds of takeaway lessons from the story or other dimensions to the story are you hoping to give to people in church on Sunday? What kind of spin are you going to, what direction are you going to head in, do you think?
We've talked in the past about... end of life things, right? Where we come to an end, and yet every week we try to remind people that we're a resurrection people, right?
That every ending is a beginning,
right?
Yeah,
and that's a key part of this story, which is actually for some people is quite easy to do because they can separate themselves from it because it's so far in the distant recesses of the Bible, right? Mm-hmm. It's so close to the beginning that they can separate themselves from it. But when you are faced with something like that, what do you do when you are faced with the end? Do you fight it? Do you embrace it? Do you, like, what do you do with that? And when you find yourself at a new beginning of something, what do you do with that? Like, you know, the story ends with them disembarking the ark.
Right.
And so, and of course, the first thing that Noah and the family do is, of course, that they build an altar and make an offering to God because they're so thankful. Then I kind of go, okay, but in the next breath, they're like, okay, so we're the only ones here. Now what? Right? So it's the beginning of an adventure. And that actually kind of plays to Thanksgiving again, too, right? Is that the radical gratitude, right? In mm-hmm. the face of what could be a tremendous obstacle, you either embrace it and see the opportunity and you find reason to be thankful, yeah. Or you don't.
Well, I'm glad you said that because I was just thinking about how so often when I hear anything referring to the Great Flood or the Noah story, that I think about just where we're at today in our relation to the planet. And I think about not necessarily like in the biblical version of the story of just the humans were being so sinful that God decided he wanted to, you know, wipe us all out. I think about the way we have treated indigenous people, the way that we've treated the environment, the amount of plastic we put in the ocean, the way that we consume natural resources as though they're just an inexhaustible supply, the way we the violence in the world, that we're living in crazy times where you could easily look at what's going around us in politics and in environmentally and socially, and, you know, everything from school shootings to there's so many examples, deforestation and how we've already obliterated over 90% of the different species that live in the oceans. It's depressing. And I almost look at it and think, you know, the trajectory of the world's human population, maybe it's time for another correction course or some kind of...
Ben, where do you think the guys who wrote the story for the latest Avengers movie got that idea?
Right?
I mean, that is literally the plot of that, right? The idea is that Thanos wants to destroy half of everything in existence so that the other half can survive,
and
right?
No human would ever want to be the one to make the end. So
right,
he
and they're all
this,
fighting him like, that's wrong. But there's a logic to his thing, and I'm not saying it's right, but there's a logic to the thinking, right?
That, yeah, if we could just depopulate this place.
Right.
And it's that kind of
cold...
Pragmatic,
heartless,
yeah.
Calculated way of thinking. The Noah's story is the same story. Reset.
Yeah,
we'll start again.
Reboot.
Yeah, reboot.
And I think so. Where I was going with that is, I think it is time for a reboot, but not in the way that we've in the past looked at, these different. Epics or times throughout the history of the planet where there's been a mass extinction event or like a flood or a giant meteorite hitting the earth and causing all or an ice age. I don't, and maybe that will happen and that'll be what saves the planet from the humans that are destroying it like a virus, but something is going to happen. I think right now we're at a really interesting time where we've developed technology and we have such a massive population that we're impacting the Earth in such large ways, but we could make choices that are different that would really change how we are impacting the Earth. And and maybe get to that new beginning in a more positive way without having to say, you know what, we're going to just, you know, enforce this law that only every family can only have one child like they do in China, or we're going to, you know, legally enforce contraception, or like there's maybe we don't have to take extreme measures to course correct from the precipice that we're heading towards. If people would just refocus
that depends on what you consider to be extreme, I guess. Because here's the thing. It's all about the rainbow, really. Here's the thing. The Noah story is about, for some people, is about how God fixed things. Right? Things were broken. God went reset, pressed the button, and reset everything.
Restored balance.
And then said, the rainbow is a sign that I won't do that again. And then what? Our response to that was, okay, good. So we'll just do what the hell we want. Mm.
We'll go back to trashing
then,
the place.
Then there's an assortment of prophets. There's an assortment of figures in since then, not just Jesus, but Jesus would be the key one for if you're a follower of Jesus. Jesus is obviously the key one, but there would be others, like right through to like Gandhi and Martin Luther King Jr. and people like that, who go, okay, it's up to us. We have a role here. The idea that God's going to intervene and reset, that is old thinking. And in fact, you may recall that the Bible says God promised not to do that again. So it's up to us to do it,
mm-hmm.
right? And so then there's suddenly a story of God coming to us, the Word made flesh, in human form, to teach us how to love each other and everything, right?
To teach us a new way of being.
To teach us a new way of being. Reset. It hasn't really caught on as well, I think, as we would like it to, because partly because I think we tend to not see beyond. Well, Jesus is about loving your neighbor, right? We should love each other, which was why one of the things about the last 3 or 4 weeks or 5 weeks is to remind ourselves that we are related to creation. We're part of each other. We're part of creation.
Yeah, not just your human neighbors.
Yeah, the web of life is huge and vast, and we are part of that. And so then the perspective then, and this is where Thanos wants to destroy half of everything in existence. If we can come to understand that we're related to the entire web of life, which is all things, that's infinite. There's no point at which you will actually reach a point where you can exhaust that. We can exhaust pieces of it, and we're doing a fine job of exhausting this planet, and we need to figure out a way to stop doing that. But the universe is vast and huge.
Well, Elon Musk has some solutions for that.
I'm sure he does. And I'm sure there are other people who have some more Thanos-like ways to deal with that too. But the key to that, again, going back to Jesus, is relationship. When we are in relationship with things and we are in right relationship with things, we seek balance. We seek to give as well as receive. We seek to live with an idea that we live with an abundance of love and grace. We may not necessarily always have all the things, or money, or you know, those things that we've come to value, but they're not the things that are most valuable. And how we relate to each other is the thing that's most valuable. And that's again going back to the Noah story. There's a great opportunity to explore that. I can't imagine that the Noah family were particularly happy about having to build the boat. When in that children's program that we did all aboard the Ark, the animals helped them.
Oh, cool.
Because the animals all had skills that could help, right?
That's a great idea.
Like the elephants could lift stuff.
Right.
The beavers could take down trees. You could send little like mice and the little animals in to fill in holes and cracks and find where, you know, the boat might leak and all those. So every animal as well as every human being has a skill, a gift. They're a
purpose.
Piece of the body, a purpose, right? And it's worth exploring those and understanding those better. It's worth also understanding how, in a small confined space, all those animals manage to get along. Okay, let's explore that in the context of how shall we all get along in this very confined space that we call the planet Earth?
Mm-hmm.
Because for however many billions of people now live on the planet, it is a small confined space, no matter how big you think it is, and no matter how much... people like Donald Trump don't want us to look at the world globally. It is a globe.
And it's also...
That's why it's called that.
It's also kind of a parallel because, I mean, other than Elon Musk's and SpaceX projects, you know, those ideas aside, we're kind of stuck here. Like, this is our one... It's like a ship going through space that we are not really able to... disembark very easily, and so we do need to figure that out. One other thing you said there that one thing it made me think of was I think a lot of people are starting to wake up to the fact that the material possessions and materialism is not the source of happiness, and so you see a movement, and especially in millennials, that are selling the big house and they're buying a tiny home, or they're selling all their possessions and going traveling around the world, and they're trading in like the Corvette and stuff like that for experiences and adventure and connection. So I think there is a bit of an awakening starting to happen. Mm-hmm. I hope that it happens fast enough that we can minimize the destructive impact that we're having on creation, and that we can step into that new beginning in our personal lives and as a race, as a planet.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited to see what you turn some of these thoughts into for your sermon on Sunday, Robin. And it's been really fun exploring this theme of new beginnings and creation. We've touched on death and the afterlife, and you know, in through this topic of beginnings, we've been exploring a lot more than just beginnings.
And somehow we managed to get the Avengers in there too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know how we do that. There's
that.
Star Wars references and everything. Yeah. It's been fun.
This is the theology, right? I mean, if theology is the presence of God in things, right? Finding God in life, if that's the purpose of that. It's so interesting, isn't it, how that seeps into pop culture. How it becomes part of that in ways that we don't really readily see or make connections to. But it's there.
Yeah, it's everywhere. Well, thank you for this one, Robin. It's been great.
Thanks, Ben.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. As always, hope you got lots out of this conversation. And if you're interested in checking out more of the episodes of the Six Ways from Sunday podcast, you can find those at risingspiritministry.com. Thanks again for listening today, and remember to always spread joy and be love. Take care.